This is Dave and Darren in the morning. You are listening to Planet 93.9. Due to some technical issues, Darren's unable to join us for this segment.
There he is.
He's just sitting in the corner booing us.
Yeah, great.
Oh, well, that's a shame.
In the morning.
I should introduce you, Mike. You're a movie critic there at the River City's Reader. And an editor, and sometimes you deliver the papers.
Yeah, these are all things I do.
You wear a lot of hats.
This is a weird view, by the way, sitting in Darren's seat.
Well, you know, I
don't hate it.
Listen.
It's pretty cool.
Oh, no. Heavy is the head that wears that crown, my friend.
Right.
Did Dune teach you nothing about palace intrigue?
This is so true.
Let's get into the reviews of what you've seen, and then we've got a lot of movies opening, and then we'll talk about the Oscars.
Yeah, we got a big day. Okay.
So and frankly, it's better Darren's not here for this.
He's right there.
Oh, right.
Be kind.
Dune 2.
Dune. Now,
Dune 2.
You liked Dune 2.
Very much. Yeah, it was great. Because I felt so guilty for only seeing the first one on TV screens, because they did the simultaneous release on, on streaming services.
Why was that? Was something going on?
Yeah, that was the year right after.
I'm kidding. I'm joking.
Oh, see, I'm all thrown by the new view here. It's weird. Anywho, I treated myself to an IMAX ticket because why not?
Sure.
And it was splendid. It was loud as all get out. Visually, just stunning. Story's great. Acting much improved, I thought, over the last one. Where they were all competent, but a little bland. But this time you've got, Javier Bardem is stealing this thing. He's just a riot. Austin Butler is creepy as all get out. And Rebecca Ferguson's great. And Zendaya has moments. And even Tim Chalamet kind of comes through by the end, where you're like, going, okay, all right.
Don't spoil anything, but I do have a quick question.
Sure.
In the trailers, Austin Butler's always in black and white. Do they explain why that is?
It's kind of just a monochromatic world that he's living in.
I see.
Yeah.
That's just how things are
That's just the way it looks, okay. Yeah. All and right. It's not like the movie becomes black and white. It's like, no, that's just a black and white place. And it's got overtones of Nazi imagery and like Leni Riefenstahl movies from Germany.
Oh,
in the
no.
30s.
Okay.
It's all kind of designed that way. So it's intentional. I didn't love it more than the original at the end of the day.
Right.
Because it's a lot of attacks on the desert planet, and they're all pretty much the same. I mean, as beautifully staged as they are, it's like, well, there's no question about who's going to win here. Mm. So once you get it, and there's quite a few of them. And so it left me a little something to be desired, but overall, it's an amazing time. Biggest screen possible. Go see it.
All right.
Yeah.
I will do.
Yeah, it's great.
You also saw an Adam Sandler movie called Spaceman.
Yeah, this is something I didn't know was happening.
Until I read your review, I had no idea this was even a thing.
I certainly didn't either. I accidentally landed on a review for it, and it sounded insane, and it was. So it's Adam Sandler in space. He plays a Czech astronaut, so he's a very light Czechoslovakian accent.
Okay.
Which is already weird. But he goes into space, and he's been there for about 6 months. They have to investigate this big purple cloud in the sky that no one can understand. And we never really find out who is responsible for the purple cloud, but it does release a 4-foot-tall spider who sneaks basically out of Sandler's nose and then grows into a 4-foot creature who talks to him in the voice of Paul Dano, sounding much like Hal, the computer from 2001. And all this spider wants to do is help Adam Sandler with his marital problems. Because he's got a heavily pregnant wife on Earth, played by Carey Mulligan, and the spider is just like, why are you so sad, skinny human? Is it because of your wife on Earth who's forgotten about you? You know,
how does the spider know that?
He just does. Mm. He just, for reasons.
Okay.
Okay.
Because he does.
Because he does.
Okay.
And so that's it. For like an hour and 40 minutes, we get to see clips of Sandler's
sounds like a rip-roaring
Earth.
Comedy.
It's not. It's designed as a serious exploration of marital issues in space with Sandler and a big spider. It's the nuttiest thing I've seen in forever. It's kind of like, it's based a little bit on this movie called Solaris, which is like a sci-fi classic from the 70s, and then
sure.
Clooney remade it.
Right.
And they're taking it incredibly seriously. And so this movie, terrible.
I'm going to stop you.
Okay.
Adam Sandler is a Czech astronaut who goes to investigate a cloud. A spider crawls out of his nose and grows to be 4 feet tall and talks like Paul Dano.
Yeah.
and it's not a comedy.
No, I don't think there's a laugh in it. I don't think there's an intentional laugh in it. The spider does develop a taste for a certain snack food that gets a lot of product placement that I'm not going to give the satisfaction of revealing on the air.
Okay.
And so, and he keeps calling Sandler skinny human. That's the only way he ever refers to him. Oh, skinny human. And it's like, Sandler is not a skinny human. Let's just be honest. He looks just fine, but that's a dad bod if ever there was one.
Right.
And so the spider, you know, and so even the spider.
And make sure the spider is complimenting me the whole movie.
And so you'd think even at one moment Sandler would just kind of ad lib, I'm not that skinny.
Right.
Once. But no, he takes the full compliment and lives with it. So it's this terrible, terrible movie, but kind of impossible to laugh at because it's really well done. It's beautifully filmed. The effects are good. Sandler's given a solid performance, a really kind of impressively deep-ish performance considering his material. So I never laughed at this thing, although I was dying to. It's a weird thing, and it's on Netflix.
All right. Spaceman.
Spaceman.
How many people do you think are tuning in thinking they're going to get a comedy, and then
almost everybody,
right?
Because that's
Adam Sandler.
That's abjectly hilarious.
Spaceman, yeah.
That setup.
All right.
So we'll see. I have no idea how people are responding to this. I'm hoping there's some info on that somewhere because I really want to know. I think a lot of people, like you suggest, are going to be incredibly disappointed.
Like, yeah. At what point? How many minutes into the movie are you when you go, "What
Wait
is
a minute.
This?"
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty early, but you stay that way. I mean, I had a drop.
Like,
job
does Rob
for
Schneider
an hour and a half.
Pop in, or like Steve Buscemi? Like,
exactly.
Nick Swartzen's not in this movie. Like,
they all could be, you know. But we do have Isabella Rossellini in it for reasons.
Sam
for
Hill.
Reasons passing understanding.
Okay.
And Lena Olin. I mean, these are like great European actresses, and Carrie Mulligan.
Carrie Mulligan's no slouch,
right? She's good at her job.
Wow.
It's crazy.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. So you didn't love it, but you kind of.
But I kind of recommend it. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
It's crazy, man.
Opening this weekend, Kung Fu Panda 4.
Which no one has been asking for.
Right.
I mean, yeah. Okay.
Po must train a new warrior when he's chosen to become the spiritual leader of the Valley of Peace. However, when a powerful shape-shifting sorceress sets her eyes on his staff of wisdom, he suddenly realizes he's going to need some help. Teaming up with a quick-witted fox, Poe soon discovers that heroes can be found in the most unexpected places.
Isn't that sweet? All right. Dying for a movie to teach me that lesson.
The premise of this, from what I've been able to glean from the commercials, is he's battling the chameleon, and the chameleon can take on the powers of everyone he's fought in the first three movies.
Yes. So we get, like, returns, I think, of, like, Ian McShane and Cranston plays his dad, right? But Ian McShane comes back. I don't remember who the other villains are. I remember the supporting character. I mean, I remember, like, the goose who's his dad, voiced by James Hong.
Yes.
Who's hilarious.
Yes, I love that.
He's really
goose.
Funny.
Yeah, that goose is good.
Dustin Hoffman's solid, I think, as his trainer.
Sure. Is this all Dustin Hoffman does anymore?
That's really it. Yeah. I can't think of the last time I saw his actual face.
Yeah.
It's been a long time. But we also have Viola Davis this time and Ki-Hui Kwan. They're getting the Oscar winners for this one. So, go figure.
We also have a movie, another Blumhouse movie.
Yep.
Imaginary.
Yep. Here we go.
From the genre-defining masterminds behind Five Nights at Freddy's and Megan comes an original horror that taps into the innocence of imaginary friends and begs the question, are they really figments of childhood imagination or something more terrifying lying just beneath?
Let's go with terrifying.
Yeah, that's probably right.
Yeah, possessed teddy bear, right, this time around?
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, Blumhouse, they're hit and miss, but they're harmless enough. I don't think I've ever hated one of their movies. So
is that it? Is that all that's over?
There's a biopic called Cabrini opening today.
Cabrini?
Yeah.
All right. Arriving in New York City in 1889, Italian immigrant Francesca Cabrini is greeted by disease, crime, and impoverished children. She soon sets off on a daring mission to convince the mayor to secure housing and health care for society's most vulnerable. With broken English and poor health, Cabrini uses her entrepreneurial mind to build an empire of hope. Unlike anything the world has ever seen.
Okay.
I don't know anyone who's in this movie.
No, I looked at the cast list too.
Okay.
Couldn't figure it out.
Well, David Morris and John Lithgow.
Oh, right. I forgot about that. Yeah. Lithgow is popping up in weird places these days. Good for him.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
Can I do a quick impression?
Sure.
This is my impression of John Lithgow's agent.
Okay.
All right? for this scene, I need you to play the part of somebody calling John Lithgow's agent. All right. So,
all right.
So your line is ring, ring, ring.
Okay. Ring, ring, ring.
He'll take it.
Outstanding.
That's John Lithgow's agent.
Yeah, sounds about right.
The man gets work.
Man does get work.
All right, we've got the Academy Awards happening.
Yes, we do.
And yeah. I've only seen, there are 10 films nominated for Best Picture.
Yeah.
I've only seen one of them.
Okay. Oppenheimer's the only one? Did you even see that? No.
I did see Oppenheimer over the weekend.
Okay. That's the only one?
It's the only one.
Dude.
I need to
get
caught up.
My mother has seen half of them.
I need to get caught up.
Yeah, you do. Poor Things is on Hulu as of today.
Okay, I will be watching that.
Okay. All right.
I got to see that?
You should see them all. I mean, there's not one that I don't like, except maybe Maestro. But
here's the thing with Oppenheimer. We should get into the your predictions.
Okay.
But I have thoughts on Oppenheimer.
Okay.
It's fine.
It's
not great.
It doesn't stick in your head in a way I expected it to.
No. And here's my issue with this Cillian Murphy.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's talking about what a great job he did.
Yeah.
Half the movie, he's just sitting on a couch listening to people talk about him.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
a very interior performance. I'll grant you. Yeah.
I haven't seen the other roles, but I don't know. Was it that great?
I wouldn't give it to him. No.
You think he's going to win?
I do think he's going to win. I think he's perfectly fine in it. I think he does a good job. He pulls
he's
it
fine.
Together.
He's the fine. Whole movie is fine.
Yeah, but it is weird, isn't it? That it doesn't kind of reverberate in your head. I mean, I forgot most of it by the time I wrote my review of it.
The other issue I had, and I know I'm not alone in this, is that Rami Malek. He shows up in the movie a bunch of times, and they never let him talk.
No, until the last, like, 10 minutes,
Then he has something to say at the end. I'm like,
yeah.
What are they doing with you? You just won an Oscar not that long ago.
Yeah, seriously,
like,
it's
he
weird.
Shows up, and he's, like, lurking in the background.
Yeah.
Like, he's got something to say. It was making me mad.
To the point where you're like, is that even Rami Malek, or do I have it wrong?
That dude won an Academy Award. Let him talk.
Yes. Nothing.
Why have you casted a recent Academy Award winner as an extra?
To show that I can.
Right.
I think is what we did that for.
When he shows up at the end and starts talking, I'm like, well, at least this is satisfying.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I thought it was just fun.
I agree. Yes. I'm not in love with it. But it's going to win a ton. I mean, if for your Oscar pool, you just guess Oppenheimer, even in categories it's not nominated in, you're still going to get like a third of them right.
So you have Oppenheimer winning Best Picture.
Yeah, I think that's picture and director. Robert Downey Jr., I think, is a given.
Mm-hmm.
Cillian Murphy, and then cinematography, editing, sound, score. It's going to clean up. It's going to do great.
Best Actress. You think Lily Gladstone wins for Killers of the Flower Moon?
I do, but among the main categories, that's the one I will be wrong on, if any.
I'm going to predict
Emma Stone.
I'm going to say Emma Stone, even though I haven't seen the movie.
It wouldn't surprise me at all. And she deserves it. It would be very cool if she got it.
And it would be her second Oscar.
I know, in 8 years.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Best Actor, you think it's Cillian Murphy?
I do.
He just sits on the couch and listens to people. And like
he's got good close-ups. You know, I think that's what people are remembering.
Emily
you know,
Blunt,
haunted face.
Emily Blunt, the whole movie's riding him like, would you do something? And I'm like, right on, Emily Blunt.
Yes.
Although, you're encouraging him to do something. When he does something, he invents the nuclear A-bomb.
Right, he destroys us all.
Maybe sitting there quietly would be a good thing for him to do.
I agree. Yeah.
Best Supporting Actress, you have it to Divine Joy Randolph in The Holdovers.
Yeah, that's a done deal. That's a for sure.
That's a lock.
A lock.
Okay.
That's more locky than Oppenheimer. That's how locky that is.
You have Robert Downey Jr. winning for Best Supporting Actor for Oppenheimer.
Mm-hmm.
At least there's acting there.
There is acting.
There's other things going on.
And it's really easy, I think, to forget that he first got nominated in 93. I mean, he's been around for a long time doing this. So, I'm good with that career Oscar. That's fine.
Best Original Screenplay, Anatomy of a Fall. You've been raving about that forever.
Yeah.
American Fiction gets Best Adapted Screenplay, you say.
Mm-hmm.
Best Original Song, Barbie, What Was I Made For?
Mm-hmm.
So that would be Billie Eilish's second Academy Award for Best Song.
At age 22.
Wow.
She would be the first, the youngest person to have two Oscars at
you don't,
that age.
You don't think that the Ryan Gosling will split the
votes? No, I don't. And the Eilish song just won Song of the Year at the Grammys. I mean, that feels like a done deal. But Ryan Gosling is performing the Ken number at the Oscars, apparently alongside if I read this right, 56 Kens. It's going to be like this massive production number. It's going to be like the show stealing.
Okay.
I think. So
all right.
That could be fun.
Well, my only prediction for this year is I think two things.
Okay.
One, I think old man Oscar might have a few tricks up his sleeve.
I love when you say that. Yeah.
And two, I think this year of all years, it's going to be a real return to that old school Hollywood glamour.
I agree. They're all
spelt with a U.
Yeah, glamour. Yes. They are doing the cool thing that they did like 12, 13 years ago, where all the acting categories apparently are being introduced by previous Oscar winners who do like a little speech about the nominees and their careers and stuff.
Oh.
It was a highlight when that happened. They did it like 2 years in a row, like 2008 and 9. It was amazing, and they're bringing that back. So that's cool.
Here's what I'd like you to predict.
Yeah.
Who are we going to be upset about because they were snubbed for In Memoriam?
Ooh, good one. Good one.
My prediction
I'd have to
is
go back
my
and
prediction
see
is there's
going to
be a lot of people upset on Monday morning that Matthew Perry somehow wasn't included in the In Memoriam.
Oh, section. That's entirely possible. I could see that happening.
He made movies at Selma High.
He did, but he hasn't been a force in movie. I mean, hadn't been for 20 years.
Oh, I'm not saying I'm including him.
No.
My question is,
that's
who
why,
are people going to be upset about?
But that'll be their logic. Like, well, somebody had to go.
Where was Richard Lewis?
Oh, well, yeah, he didn't really do movies, I guess.
He did that movie with John Candy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Which one is that?
West, Wagons Ho?
Oh, Westward, no, Wagons Ho, I think you're sure.
See, I get confused.
Yeah.
Because there's the...
Westward Ho is a thing, right?
There's the Matthew Perry, Chris Farley movie.
Yeah.
And there's the Richard Lewis, John Candy movie.
Oh, wow, okay.
And I think they're the same movie. And now
quite possibly.
All four of them are gone.
Jeez.
We'll find out how you did on your predictions, because you have the predictions for every single category.
I do indeed, yes.
For the Academy Awards.
Yeah.
We'll see how you did, and we'll see what you think of, God help us, Kung Fu Panda number 4. Have you liked the other three?
I very much liked the first two, certainly, and I think the third one was pretty good.
Okay.
So yeah, I'm okay with them.
DreamWorks tends to put out good movies.
Yeah, theirs aren't bad.
DreamWorks lately has been better than Pixar, right?
Yeah. Well, they're at least not... I was going to say, they're not sequelizing themselves to death, and here's Kung Fu Panda 4, so forget that.
Kung Fu Panda 4.
Yeah, right.
He's Mike Schultz. He's a movie editor and a movie critic and an editor at the River Cities Reader, and he joins us here on Thursday to tell us what he thinks of the movies. Mike, thanks for coming in.
A pleasure. Thank you.